Alabama to Nashville, Tennessee. Denver, Colorado to Washington, D.C. There rose a cry for freedom and human liberty. Oh, come along, my people, and take a seat with me. Heed the call.
Heed all Americans all.
This is a Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report special. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Against the backdrop of tremendous prejudice, particularly post-911, and highlighted by the recent events in Farmingville, where a Mexican day laborer's family nearly lost their lives after a firebombing, organized labor is organizing support for an immigrant workers' freedom ride, which will culminate in a mass rally numbering in the hundreds of thousands on Saturday, October 4th at Flushing Meadow Park in Queens. Immigrant workers who have helped through their blood, their sweat, and their tears to build this country will finally be supported en masse.
The Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride is an initiative of a broad coalition, including the FLCIO, National Civil and Immigrant Rights, Religious and Community and Student Associations. Inspired by the Freedom Riders of the Civil Rights Movement, immigrant workers and their allies will set out from 8 major U.S. cities and cross the country in buses in late September. They will converge on Washington, D.C. to meet with members of Congress to advocate for legislation to protect the rights of undocumented workers and for immigration reform. Then they head to New York City for the rally at Flushing Meadow Park. The New York City Central Labor Council and the New York Congressional Delegation recently held a press conference to kick off this campaign for immigrant worker rights. We now bring you excerpts from some of the speakers, including President Michael Fishman and Treasurer Hector Figueroa from Local 32BJ, Transport Worker Local 100 President Roger Toussaint, Congressman Charles Rangel, and Congresswoman Nydia Velasquez. The event was chaired by New York City Central Labor Council President Brian McLaughlin.
The leaders that I'm going to call to the podium, they've invested heavily in this event. The fact that they've made this event on October 4th their top priority is an inspiration to the rest of us. I'd like to first call to the podium the president of Local 32BJ SEIU, Michael Fishman, who's done an outstanding job. And I'd like to ask the Secretary Treasurer, Hector Figueroa, to join Michael up here at the podium as well.
Local 32BJ has 70,000 members who take care of the office buildings in the city and the apartment building. About two-thirds are immigrants. They've come here to find a new life. Unfortunately, every day we hear about 40 or 50 workers who are fired because of a no-match letter on Social Security. They're being fired by their employers because the government is sending out a notice their Social Security number doesn't match what's on their records. This kind of intimidation is hurting our country. It's hurting our workers. And our job on October 4th is to call attention to the need for change in the laws, change in the attitude. Immigrants built this country. In New York City, most people are the sons and daughters of immigrants. And if we want to have the kind of vitality in our country, a place where people can come and get a new life, then we have to change the attitude of the government and the laws that we have today. On October 4th, we're hoping to turn out not just our 70,000 members, but hundreds of thousands more who will come and support the rights of immigrant workers. Our members, who come from 60 countries, speak 25 languages, need this support, and we hope to see everybody there. Thank you.
Since September 11, the climate has changed for the fight for immigrant rights, and we hope that with this event, we can make it a priority nationally as well as locally to fight for the rights of immigrant workers, unify our families, end the backlog to a road to citizenship, and be able to protect the rights of all workers in the workplace.
Thank you. A quintessential New Yorker who's an immigrant himself, who's come to America and gone on to become one of the most respected labor leaders in the country. That's the president of the TWU Local 100, Roger Toussaint.
I represent the 38,000 transit workers and move 7 million New Yorkers every day. A large part of our membership come from immigrant backgrounds. We are investing very heavily in trying to make this a successful mobilization because the time has come for it. I think many people would recall that as recently as a few days ago, when you turned on the morning news, you saw the firebombing of some Mexican immigrants' homes in Long Island. And it's a reminder that the days of vicious violence against immigrants is not some distant memory from the past. It is ever present. In addition to which, the tremendous exploitation of immigrants is a very real issue for the labor movement, because it is used, on the one hand, to downpress wages and benefit, because the more people you have in near slavery, the more it is used to pull down the wages of the entire working class. Additionally, especially in the aftermath of September 11th, with the attacks on civil liberties and the stigmatization of different immigrant groups, there's an attack taking place on the rights, on the political liberties, on freedom. So this mobilization comes at a very appropriate time. We intend to put our full resources and efforts behind making this thing happen on October 4th, because it is so important going forward in terms of shaping American society.
I want to call on the dean of our delegation. Charlie Rangel has been one that's been talking about this issue for a long time across the country. When it came to the budget issues, it was Charlie Rangel who recognized that immigrants in this city and across the country in urban areas, they pay a disproportionate share of the taxes and provide the revenue streams that we all benefit from, and yet they're mired disproportionately in the low-income, low-wage jobs in America because of their status. And I want everyone in this room to stand and welcome the dean of our delegation, Charlie Rangel.
I've oftentimes said that it's very difficult to really determine just how much history we make by coming together against common foes. I'm inclined to think of some of the things that I was involved with and really didn't think it made that much difference, only to see how moving together, forming coalitions, being on the right side can truly make a difference. I remembered in the early 60s, Percy Sutton persuaded me to march from Selma to Birmingham. I had just come out of Korea, had frozen feet, had bad feet. I wasn't thinking about marching any place. But I did think it was a great opportunity to get my picture taken. And Roger, I got as sharp as I could get, my Florsheim shoes, my cashmere coat. I had all the pictures taken with Andrew Young and John Lewis and Ralph Bunch. And then it started to rain. And I saw these old folks going into their bags and putting this plastic around their beat-up shoes. And I said, well, just maybe if I walked a little bit, I'd feel less guilty about leaving those old folks down there to march these 54 miles. What I didn't know, coming from Harlem, is that you don't march a little bit on a rural road. There are no lights. I had these white redneck National Guard, and they were supposed to be guarding me. People were singing Bye Bye Blackbird. I cursed every step of the way of those 54 miles. What the hell am I doing here? Being cussed out, and how little I knew that that march would turn the tide for this country, to bring about voting rights, to bring about civil rights in this country, only because a guy named Dr. Martin Luther King was fearless enough to bring people together. And civil rights wasn't that popular either. Black folks were never on the priority calendar. Kids were being lynched, and priests and nuns and rabbis never got upset. They just say, pray, things would be different. But when they came together, this rushing, this booming, this conscience of America would allow us to believe that nobody supported the atrocities that were being committed on minorities. And how quickly we forgot the plight of the Irish, the plight of the Italians, the plight of people who sought freedom in this country, and yet intolerance caused them so much suffering. And unfortunately, after they assimilated, so many of them forgot the plights that their parents and their grandparents had. Oh, I know it's in labor's best interest to be able to protect the workers, as was pointed out, and to incorporate them and to give them membership. But more important than that is to incorporate them to make this great country even better, so that they don't have to flee from the darkness of night, that they're able to enjoy being American, that we will be able to say that as so many people helped us to be where we are today, as we all stand on someone's shoulders, that we can say we came here and said that we were ready to have people throw stones at us for taking care of those no-good immigrants, because we want them to become like we are, tax-paying citizens. This is a very historic occasion. Since 9/11, some of the meanest people in the world have taken over the Justice Department. They have done to our Constitution things that don't make us proud. Some people may think that they're going after Al-Qaeda. Others may think they're just going after Arabs. But with our Constitution, it means that we're going after ourselves if we allow that Constitution to be tatted and battered so that when we need it, it's not going to be there for us. So I am proud to be here, to be on the Freedom Ride. This is really the kickoff of a new civil rights for our great country, and I'm proud to be a part of your team.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for your
leadership.
You know, Congresswoman has been fighting this fight, and Nydia was so delighted that you could take the time to join Organized Labor and our associates here this morning.
Thank you. You do not understand what this day represent for me, for the many people that I represent, for our city, and for our country. I used to say for the last 6 years that it's been quite lonely in Washington, and I can tell you today, lonely no more. To know that in the struggle for civil rights and for immigrant rights, that the labor movement in this country embrace the rights for immigrants is quite amazing. I will be with you every place you go, in Washington, here in New York City. The only way that I could energize myself is when I come back to my district and I meet with real people. People who understand what it means to fight for liberties and freedom for our country. Yesterday, I was in the Lower East Side meeting with immigrants who were telling me about the abuses that they are suffering. Of the many immigrants that I meet every day, hard-working people in Sunset Park, in Bushwick, in Williamsburg. And we are quite amazed to listen to the debate when we are debating the most favorable status for China about child abuses and child labor exploitation in China. We should be ashamed of ourselves because it's happening right here in our own backyard. How can we try to export democracy and to say that we are fighting for freedom when these type of exploitations and abuses are happening? When we use the Patriot Act, and I'm proud to say to you that I voted against it, and we use that to deport people, to violate due process for so many people in this country. So thank you, because the kind of feeling that I have today is one of hope, and it is one that I just can't describe to you. For the last 11 years, I've been dealing with this every single day. Thank you for feeling today that there is hope for so many people in this country, and for many people to understand and to recognize that the face of America is changing. We cannot lecture from the podium in the White House about family values if we denied the right for people to reunify. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mobs of violence and of hate shall turn me from my goal. No Jim Crow law, police.
And to find out more about the Immigrant Worker Freedom Ride, go to the New York City Central Labor Council website at www.nyc.clc.org. That's www.nyc.clc.org.
Brothers and sisters.
This has been a Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report special.
Sisters,
the New York City Central Labor Council is organizing support for the Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride, which will culminate in a mass rally numbering in the hundreds of thousands on Saturday, October 4th at Flushing Meadow Park in Queens. And we are pleased to have with us on the line Brian McLaughlin, president of the New York City Central Labor Council. Welcome to Building Bridges, Brian.
Mimi, thanks for having me. And Ken, how are you, sir?
Thank you
for taking the time to have me on.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, what's a good Irishman like yours?
Remembers his immigrant roots. Yeah.
What are the issues that has caused the entire organized labor movement to really come out and build for this massive immigrant workers' freedom ride?
Well, let me first say, you know, Ken started to ask the question, what's a good Irishman like me doing involved with the immigrant issues as deeply involved as we are as a labor movement? You know, I have a sign, Ken, that hangs in my office, and it says, "No Irish need apply." And the sign was printed in 1910. My grandfather gave it to me. And that sign always reminded me of the plight of immigrants and the struggles, what it's like to be different. But my grandfather and his associates, they had one thing going for them. They had support of government, many of their struggles. And an immigrant for today wouldn't have the same opportunities. And, of course, in his case, he had the opportunity to join a union. Today, the immigrants in our country really are being called to one tune, and that's the rally on October 4th at the culmination of a freedom ride across America. We remember the early freedom rides and what it represented for minorities in our country. This is a similar struggle where we're calling on immigrants to get on buses from 10 cities in America and stop at 80 different sites across the country, culminate in Washington, D.C. on October 1st. And second, for 2 days of legislative presence in our capital. Governor McGreevy will have something in New Jersey on the 3rd, and then in the Unisphere, the geographic center of New York, this struggle will culminate with what we hope will be, I mean, as Mimi said, hundreds of thousands of people out there to fight for the legalization and a road to citizenship, to fight for the right of immigrant workers to reunite with their families, and to protect the rights of immigrants in the workplace.
Brian, let's just capitalize more on the issue or explain more about the issue of why you all have chosen to draw on the issue of the first Freedom Rides, which really began. They were planned in 1960 and 1961. They went across the South, and there was some brutal experience that those early Freedom Riders had. What kind of triggered, what resonated in the heroic efforts of those individuals such that you have now taken the theme to organize support for the new Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride?
What we're doing never can be said with the same passion that someone engaged in the struggle today could say with their own words. But we're leaders. We're leaders of organized labor. We're leaders of working men and women, and hopefully we're public policy leaders. And the stories that immigrants tell today in our economy, in our city, in our communities, they're just as harrowing as the experiences that the civil rights leaders had 3 decades ago. Today, immigrant families make up an important share of the United States population. Immigrants contribute significantly to our economy, day in and day out. Immigrants rely disproportionately on low-wage, low-benefit jobs. The abuse and exploitation of undocumented workers is growing, especially since September 11th. And immigrants in the labor movement have been synonymous with one another. The American labor movement has embraced immigrant workers in a role they play in the economic, social, political, and cultural life of the United States, going way back to my grandfather. So it should be the labor movement that plays the pivotal role in trying to work with immigrant advocates, immigrant leadership, faith-based community, and standing up to try to develop some kind of policy in the United States that recognizes all of those important components that the immigrant community makes up to our economy and our communities on a day-to-day basis.
Brian, as you had said before 9-1-1, this was on the political agenda and things changed after 9-1-1. I saw in today's Times that a number of Republicans in Arizona, including Senator McCain, are proposing a new bill on, it's not quite immigration, that looked more like a guest worker bill, but it does seem like that debate is beginning again. Actually, this seems like a preemptive strike. They must know about the Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride. What's your response to the kind of legislation that they're putting out, which I think does really rely on guest workers?
Ken, I think it would be appropriate with all of the options and all of the opportunities that people like you and I, progressive people and other progressive people, could put into legislation, not to comment on a specific piece of legislation, because I don't think that's what the Freedom Ride is all about, but to create a presence that the plight of immigrants isn't something that just victims embrace, that today victims, advocates, trade associations, organized labor, and other people who have been given the promise of America through immigration policy. A wide range of people have made the decision that this is something important and that it's this time in the struggle and in the history of the United States that this immigrant workers' freedom ride should come about. We talk about September 11th, and the fact is that since September 11th, abuse and exploitation of undocumented workers is growing. There's a fear factor. We know in our own city, the don't ask, don't tell policy that Mayor Bloomberg has overturned and what that would represent for immigrant workers. And, by the way, health policy, when we think of SARS and the outbreak of SARS or crime and the ability to report a crime. But across the country, we've seen the INS program, which makes surprise interrogations at airports and at work and at homes all across America, has now reached into numerous airports, including Salt Lake City, Los Angeles, Orange County, Denver, Minneapolis, and others. Social Security Administration has increased the number of notices sent to employers, advising them of discrepancies in the employee-reported Social Security information. The Social Security Administration alone sent out approximately 70,000 no-match letters to employers. The number has increased and increased and increased. So we're at a point in time where we have to develop some kind of sensible policy in America that creates a path to citizenship, reunifies families, but really, in essence, recognizes that immigrant families make up an important share of the U.S. population and contributes to our economy. I live in Flushing for 32 years. Without the influx of immigrants to the community that I live in, many of the businesses on Main Street in Flushing would still be boarded up. It's an important contribution to our economy, but yet we have no U.S. policy that provides dignity and reassurance to the immigrants who come here.
You know, Brian, when I think about this, I mean, not only the labor movement uniting with all the immigrant groups, but all of the different immigrant groups that really, to a large extent, have been struggling separately, coming together, the Chinese groups and the Mexican groups and groups from Salvador and all the immigrant groups coming together in this struggle with us who are, you know, basically second and third immigration immigrants ourselves. It's really a very exciting project.
You know, when you start out, you have growing pains, but I use an example to give an example, but I met recently with the Peruvian delegation that was at Flushing Meadow Park. They were having their event about 2-3 weeks ago, and I was looking at it as like an honor if I could get the chair of the group to spend some quality time with me. And it was so interesting that the chair of the group was looking at it as an honor if I would possibly spend some time with him, that this could be the time, this could be the moment. There's still too much ignorance that's out there. But this could be the time, this could be the moment that we can really do the kinds of things together in coalition that will reshape, refocus, redesign through legislation at the federal level and provide, you know, the hope and the promise of America to tens of thousands without half of the apprehension and the struggle that people are going through here today in our community.
Well, we know tragically that there are still areas like Farmingville, for example, where there was first the terrible beating of Mexican, in that case, day laborers, and then it was followed up a year subsequent to that by the terrible firebombing, which nearly took the lives of the inhabitants of a house who were also day laborers. So we've got a lot to do to deal with the issue of xenophobia. But aside from October 4th, after the culmination of the actual bus rides and after what is portends to be a very important, as a matter of fact, the largest immigrant rights march and gathering in the history of this country, where do we go from there? What's the platform? What do we want to accomplish to really impact in a long-range way on the rights of the different immigrant laborers that have built and will continue to build this country?
Well, you know, you talked about Farmingville. It's an example of the ignorance that still exists out there. But this organizing process that we're going through for October 4th tells me there's another side to that coin, and that's that there are many, many, many people out there that we may lose on an individual or a specific piece of legislation. But people understand the opportunity they got when they were immigrants. Everybody's come from immigrant roots, and you know, that second or third generation. And I think that this coalition has much, much more breadth to it than anyone in Washington wants to admit right now. And rather than speculate on a specific piece of legislation, Mimi, I would say this, that when you think of the the wide range of viewpoints that come from immigrant victims, their families, advocates who provide the services, labor unions that have a wide range of experiences, trade associations. This coalition has the ability to be broad enough to put together achievable legislation and ongoing legislation that can recognize that now is the time that we have to reassess United States immigration policy, come to the conclusion that immigrants who make up a great proportion of our society and contribute day in and day out significantly to our economy, often trapped in low-wage jobs, that now is the time that we have to do something through legislative initiative to correct all of that. And I think that rather than speculate on a specific bill, I would say that the leadership has decided that we should try to broaden the coalition to reinforce and to make a presence from September 23rd to October 4th. And I think that we have the ability to do that. And that's a reasonable assessment of what's taken place across our country and based on what I know is taking place so far in New York. And I think I would consider that a huge victory if we come away with that.
And we're going to make this the most important, the largest to date immigrant rights freedom ride rally to be followed by something substantial to support our sisters and brothers, the new immigrants here that this country has ever seen. And with the help of and with the inspiration of the organized labor movement in its best way, we're going to mirror one of the most stimulating periods in our history, the Freedom Rides of the 60s, by doing the Freedom Rides now of 2003. And as always, we'd like to thank Brian McLaughlin, president of the New York City Central Labor Council, for being our guests on Building Bridges.
Let me thank you. And Ken and Mimi, you've been great friends, and I appreciate your interest in this issue.
Well, we will see you soon on the bus.
Very good. Looking forward to it.
Have a good day.
Take care. Yeah. Both of you also and all the listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
The time was 1960, the place the USA. February 1st became a history-making day. Greensboro across the land, the news spread far and wide. Silently and bravely, youth took a giant stride. Heed the call,
heed the call, American song.
From Mobile, Alabama to Nashville, Tennessee, Denver, Colorado to Washington, D.C., their roads cried for freedom and human liberty. Oh, come along, my friend.